Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun South of Arizona. Thanks for joining us from the Sun Lake Splash, old-fashioned spring garden favorite by Danette Hunnell. Step into any Phoenix nursery right now and notice an abundance of snapdragons. Snapdragons are easily grown in Sun Lakes from seeds or a starter plant. The time to plant is now. With seeds, place thinly in a shallow pan of soil. Keep damp using a spray bottle, cover with a plastic bag, and place in a sunny location. Seeds will sprout in 14 days. Transfer seeds and surrounding soil to a planter or to the garden where they will not get trampled or receive a heavy rain or too much sun. Lightly fertilize when flowers appear. For starter plants, dig holes large enough to accommodate the root ball at about 8 to 10 inches apart. Cover with soil to the top of the root ball. Press down around the plant, forming a small dent. Water thoroughly so that a little puddle will form around. This will get rid of any air pockets. Let them have full sun during the early day. Use a name brand balanced fertilizer sparingly about 2 weeks after planting. This gives them a boost as the temperature rises. The price for a 2-gallon starter plant is approximately $2.99. They will spread into clusters. Pinch-dried blooms to encourage new growth and thickening. The plant name is derived from the flower head's resemblance to a dragon. If you hold the dragon's mouth open and click together, it makes a snapping sound. With daily watering, snapdragons hold up to the desert sun from late February through mid-May. If planting a grouping in full sun, have a taller plant or shrub on their western side to shield them from our intense sunsets. Snapdragons are primarily pollinated by bumblebees, are pestered by aphids, and attract hummingbirds. Snapdragons are considered annuals, but I've had them return in late October in the damp and shady areas of our garden. They can grow through mid-December. These plants give a shot of bright color to any bland space. Place them in a large pot next to the front door as your welcome spring statement to all who enter. Snaps come in different sizes. Dwarf, medium, tall, and trailing. After the plant reaches 1.5 feet tall, cut them and place in a vase at your Easter dinner or spring cookouts. Enjoy these colorful flowers in your yard or planters for up to 3 months or in a vase for up to 12 days. From Desert Botanical Garden, you're invited to the Spring Plant Sale. Reserve your spot today. Sign up now for our Spring Plant Sale and shop our expanded inventory of more than 30,000 stunning plants. Discover a variety of native plants, trees, succulents, cactus, and pollinator-friendly species. Free admission to shop. Reservation required. Going on March 14th through the 16th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Last entry at 2 p.m. From BetterHomesAndGardens.com, 5 gardening trends we're saying goodbye to in 2025. Create more sustainable outdoor spaces by leaving these gardening trends in the past by Lauren Landers. Now that the new year is well underway and spring is around the corner, it's time to say goodbye to old gardening habits and trends that are so last season. Instead, we're ready to welcome new practices that make our gardens greener and easier to maintain. So see ya, thirsty lawns, and farewell, finicky flowers. Here are 5 gardening trends we're replacing in 2025 and the sustainable practices we're trying instead. First, growing high-maintenance, non-native plants. Non-native plants like chrysanthemums and impatiens bring a lot of color to garden beds and planters, but unfortunately, many non-native plants are fussy about their care and demanding about water, fertilizer, and soil conditions. Not to mention, many common non-natives only grow as annuals in cold climates, and they must be repurchased each spring. Although growers are often reluctant to replace non-native plants with native ones, more and more gardeners are growing native, and it's no wonder why. Since native plants are perfectly adapted to local climates, they dependably survive winters in their native hardiness zones, and they're usually more drought-tolerant and pest-resistant than non-natives. What's more, native plants are every bit as colorful as non-native flowers. And here's a tip. Growing native plants is one of the best ways to support pollinators and make your garden more inviting to wildlife. Second, large manicured lawns. Grass lawns are relatively new inventions. first popularized in the 18th century and utilized as status symbols in places like the Palace of Versailles. Many plants don't realize that the types of grass most commonly used in American lawns are non-native plants that need lots of care, water, and maintenance to survive. Aside from their high water needs, grass lawns are also monocultures that offer few benefits for wildlife or variety and interest to the eye. Keeping a lawn is certainly handy if you have young children or pets that need to roam. However, if you're looking for ways to bring more biodiversity and color into your landscape and make your lawn easier to maintain, consider reducing the size of the lawn by adding more flower or vegetable beds this year. You can also overseed lawns with drought-tolerant clover or convert part of your lawn into a midi wildflower meadow. Number 3, relying on pesticides. For decades, many gardeners have relied on chemical pesticides to keep bugs off their plants. However, this practice is often unnecessary, and it can do more harm than good. Less than 1% of insects are classified as pests, and many insects benefit gardens by pollinating plants, increasing crop yields, and feeding on nuisance insects. On top of that, pesticides usually don't discriminate between pest insects and pollinators. The overuse of pesticides is a major contributor to the decline in bees and other vital pollinator species. The good news is that there are plenty of alternatives to chemical pesticides that are much more eco-friendly and bee-safe. Installing row covers and fruit protection bags is a chemical-free way to protect produce, for example, but you can also use traditional gardening methods like crop rotation and companion planting to keep pests at bay. If you do need to use a pest control product for badly infested plants, look for organic options such as organic insecticidal soap or neem oil sprays, and only apply these products in the evening when pollinators aren't as active. Number 4 on the list of gardening trends that we're saying goodbye to this year, trashing yard waste. Every fall, gardeners and homeowners head out into their yards to rake their lawns and pile autumn leaves and trash bags on the curb. Throwing yard waste in the garbage funnels nutrients away from your yard and can deplete your soil over time. Pollinators and wildlife often hibernate in old leaf litter. Making gardens too tidy in autumn can leave these critters without a cozy spot for winter hibernation. Instead of throwing garden waste away, find new ways to repurpose fallen sticks, twigs, and leaves in your garden this growing season. Transform yard waste into nutrient-rich compost to help lawns and gardens grow better, or chop autumn leaves with a mulching attachment on your lawnmower and leave the mulched leaves on your lawn as a natural fertilizer. And a tip, attract more wildlife by using yard waste to build a bug snug for pollinators. Finally, number 5, using synthetic fertilizers. Many gardeners depend on fertilizers to keep their lawns and gardens lush, but in many ways, synthetic fertilizers are a quick fix for plant trouble. They don't improve overall soil health or benefit gardens in the long run. Often, these products need to be reapplied multiple times in a single growing season, and if they're used in the wrong way or at the wrong time, they can burn plant leaves, leach into waterways, and cause salts to build up in garden soil and damage plant roots. From FoxNews.com, already thinking about spring? These 10 garden items can help you prepare. Boots, shears, greenhouses, and compost bins help you get ready for gardening season, by Christopher Murray. Thinking about spring may not will it here any faster, but thinking ahead to the planting season can help you score a few deals on much-needed gardening equipment. Prepare yourself for warmer weather with basics like pruning shears and gardening gloves, or upgrade your planting setup with unique tools and gadgets. Here are 10 finds that can help you plan your gardening journey this spring. Garden boots, $19.99 to $23.99. Rubber gardening boots provide protection from the elements in all seasons, but particularly during the muddy spring. With 5 different styles and a waterproof layer, any avid gardener will appreciate the functionality and style these boots offer. Make sure all your gardening necessities get delivered on time by signing up for a Prime membership. The benefits include fast, free delivery, access to invite-only deals, and the option to buy with Prime. Most purchases can be delivered to your door in 24 hours if you're an Amazon Prime member. You can join or start a 30-day free trial to start your holiday shopping today. Pruning Shears, on sale for $15.95, original price $19. A good pair of pruning shears is a necessity come spring when you need to cut back overgrown plants. These professional gardening shears are tough, cutting through thick branches on bushes and other woody plants. When you need to reach low-hanging tree branches or higher brush on your bushes, long-handled pruning shears, like this pair in the photo, from Home Depot can help. Harvesting apron, $39.50. A harvesting apron helps you gather veggies and herbs from your garden or eggs from chicken coops all at once. This apron can also double as a kitchen apron, perfect for holding kitchen utensils and other small items. Indoor-outdoor greenhouse, $44.95. Depending on the plant, you can start seeds inside a few months before the last frost. Be prepared with this easy-to-use pop-up greenhouse from Amazon. The setup is a breeze, and you can move the greenhouse outside when the weather starts getting nice. Wayfair has a similar four-tier greenhouse you can set up inside or outside your home. The greenhouse has wheels built in, making it easy to move whenever needed. Raised garden bed kit, on sale for $39.99. If you don't have the best soil for digging, raised beds can solve the problem. This raised bed kit includes a metal raised bed in one of five different sizes. Pop it up in the spring, fill it with a mixture of soil, mulch, and any other additives you want, and you're ready to start planting. Compost tumbler bin, on sale for $69.95, original price $79.95. Composting is surprisingly easy, especially with the help of a small compost bin you can store outside all year round. The compost bin is easy to use. Simply throw in your compostable materials and turn the bin every so often. Eventually, the food scraps will break down into usable soil. Home Depot has dual chamber compost bin that makes it easier to rotate them. The durable steel frame and tough compost bins can easily withstand a variety of weather. Heavy-duty gardening gloves, $9.99. Every gardener needs a good pair of gardening gloves. These leather gloves are durable and come in a variety of styles. Due to the long-lasting material, these gloves have a variety of uses outside of just gardening. You can use them when working on other outdoor projects and when you need gloves for work inside. Leaf blower, on sale for $69.99, original price $139.99. One of the best times to get a good deal on outdoor equipment is in the winter when demand is low. A leaf blower helps in the spring when it's time to clean up your yard and in the fall for leaf pickup. This leaf blower is cordless and comes with two batteries and a charger. A Makita cordless leaf blower from Home Depot is a quieter, more powerful leaf blower. It has a cruise control setting that's helpful when leaf blowing larger yards. Gardening bench, on sale for $49.97, original price $59.97. A gardening bench helps when you need to kneel over garden beds or just when you want to sit down and take a breather. This bench contains storage spots for your gardening tools and gloves. You could easily fold up the bench and store it when it's not in use. Bulb planter drill bit, on sale for $11.99. Digging holes for flower bulbs is often more difficult than most people think. This drill bit acts as an auger digging the hole for you. Simply attach the bit to your drill and pick the spot where you want to plant. From BetterHomesAndGardens.com, 15 creative ideas for using ornamental grasses in your garden. Make the most of these versatile grasses, which come in graceful shapes from fountain-like and upright to low ground cover and arching, by Vivica Neville. Whether you use them as screens, accents, or focal points, ornamental grasses are an easy way to add graceful texture and year-round color to your landscape. Most of them are highly drought and heat tolerant, keeping their good looks no matter the weather. Plus, they aren't often bothered by pests and diseases, and deer tend to leave them alone. Here's how to make the most of these tough, versatile perennial plants in your yard. First, add texture to beds and borders. Ornamental grasses add unique textures to the landscape. Soft, mounding grasses balance plants that have a bolder texture, for example. Upright grasses make a perfect material contrast to more mounded plants. Maximize the effect by planting several different grasses in the same landscape. Here, fountain grass and a few varieties of miscanthus punctuate a garden filled with black-eyed Susan, lavender, and hydrangea. And here's the tip. Use the same grass in several different parts of your yard to help tie your garden together and give your landscape a cohesive look. Second, create colorful containers. With a variety of shapes, colors, and sizes, many smaller grasses are perfect for container gardens. Here, for example, fiber optic grass in simple terracotta containers decorates a plain stone wall. The effect is maximized by the contrasting texture provided by the thick, succulent leaves of gray-blue echeveria. Third, soften hardscaping. Whether it's walls, paving, or other hardscapes, border landscaping with ornamental grasses can soften their look and keep them from feeling cold and uninviting. Here, for example, a fountain-like clump of a miscanthus softens the concrete edge of a swimming pool. And a warning, some types of grasses like miscanthus have become invasive in specific areas of the country. Always check if a plant is a problem in your area before adding it to your yard, and if it is, see if there are sterile varieties of it that don't spread by seeds. Fourth, add privacy. Planting tall grasses in large groups is a great way to screen your yard from neighbors or block an unpleasant view. For best effect, choose taller species such as big blue stem, miscanthus, and moor grass, all of which can reach about 6 feet tall when in bloom. And a tip. Keep in mind that you'll cut back ornamental grasses close to the ground in early spring, so there will be a month or two while your grasses are growing when you won't have a screen. Fifth, dress up decks and patios. Don't limit ornamental grasses to beds and borders in your landscape. Grow them in containers to add drama to decks and patios. Annual or tender grasses are especially good choices for growing in containers because you'll need to replace them again in spring anyway, so you don't need to worry about trying to overwinter them in a pot. Here, purple fountain grass adds elegant texture to a rooftop garden. 6. Add a garden accent. Grasses of all shapes and sizes make excellent accent plants for mixed beds and borders. Here, a clump of fountain grass subtly complements bold black-eyed Susans, Canna, Coleus, and Petunia along a deck. Number 7. Plant a knot garden. Herbs and tidy evergreens planted as low hedges most commonly comprise geometric knot gardens. Here, a golden sedge, which technically isn't a grass but has a similar look, is a stunning contrast to dark green boxwood. Tight, mounding grasses work best in knot gardens. Avoid grasses that are too loose and open. They can make the knot garden feel messy. And a definition. A knot garden is a formal, symmetrical garden design inspired by the look of a knotted rope. The intricate layout is carefully planned to mimic the interwoven patterns of ancient knotwork. Number 8. Create edging. Edge your beds and border landscaping with ornamental grasses in a tidy line. Compact selections, such as the blue fescue shown here, are best for this. Edging with grasses works best if you plant them a little closer together than you normally would, so the grasses grow together in one line. Number 9. Create end-of-the-season interest. Grasses really shine at the end of the season when most annuals and perennials look worn out. Many grasses offer twice the interest. They have beautiful seed heads and stunning fall color. Switchgrass, big blue stem, and little blue stem are some of the best grasses for fall leaf color. Number 10, set off garden art. Complement sculptures and other garden art with fine textured grasses. Here, feather grass creates an intriguing foil to broken pottery sculptures and silvery lamb's ears. The effect is a contemporary design that will look gorgeous all year long. Number 11, attract wildlife. Ornamental grasses can be great for attracting wildlife, especially birds. They'll use the leaf blades for making nests, find shelter in larger grasses, and many species will eat the seeds. To attract the most songbirds, select grasses native to your region. Number 12. Garnish your vegetable garden. Besides looking beautiful in your landscape, ornamental grasses also can add a dash of interest to your vegetable garden. Here, the buff plumes of feather reed grass contrast nicely with the rich purples of a group of eggplants. And a tip, Clump-forming grasses such as feather reedgrass or blue fescue are the best choices for vegetable gardens. Avoid running grasses such as ribbon grass that can become weedy as they spread. Number 13, create formal flair. Many grasses, such as feather reedgrass or the big blue stem shown here, have a distinctly upright form that's perfect for enhancing a formal theme. Plant them in pairs to maximize the effect. Number 14, cover your ground. Low-growing or mid-sized grasses are top-notch ground covers. They'll help smother weeds while adding an interesting texture in your landscape. Mounding grasses often become better ground covers because of their dense habit. 15. Grow a pretty prairie. Create a meadow or prairie effect with ornamental grasses. For best success, select grasses that are native to your region. These extra tough plants provide lots of natural beauty with minimal maintenance. They're less care than a lawn and more environmentally friendly. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called I'll Plant Anything. It was written by Valerie Wilcox. And there's a quote here from William Rossier. You cannot hold back a good laugh any more than you can the tide. Both are forces of nature. I'll plant anything. A good friend of mine was going away on a long trip during the fall. Miriam thought she'd given herself plenty of time to do all the things that are required when one goes out of town. I called her the day before her departure to wish her bon voyage. She was a wreck. She was completely behind in everything she needed to do. And to top it all off, she lamented, I bought some wonderful corms to plant for next spring. I'll never get them into the ground now. Well, I'll tell you, I can't bear the thought of an unplanted corm, bulb, seed plug, you name it. I always start too many seeds in March, and by June I'm tucking them everywhere I can. I just can't bear the thought of a plant not getting a chance to grow. In other words, she was a luck. I'll plant them for you, I said. Oh, would you? You would do that? Miriam was elated. She promised to set them out on the porch for me. I knew her garden well, as we have spent many hours together toiling in each other's gardens. We quickly brainstormed some nice places for them to go. But then she said, oh, just put them wherever you think they'll look nice. I arrived a couple of days later on a chilly autumn morning and spied a frost-covered paper bag on the back steps. With my trowel and bone meal in hand, I set off in search of just the right place to plant. The corms were weird-looking, not the usual miniature root-like bulbs. I hadn't asked what kind they were when Miriam and I had last talked, but the two of us were always trying out new varieties of anything we could get our hands on. Being a consummate experimental gardener, there isn't a lot I won't try to plant and coax through our seemingly endless Minnesota winters. And so I shrugged my shoulders and went to work. After a lot of digging, arranging, changing my mind, digging some more, and rearranging, I finally stood back from the patch of disturbed earth and nodded to myself in satisfaction. They were all planted in the perfect spot. When Miriam got back a few months later, she and I went out to dinner to celebrate her return. At the restaurant, we laughed about what a wreck she'd been when she was trying to get out of town. And then she said, you know, I still can't believe I forgot to put those corms out. What a ditz brain I am. I looked at her quizzically. What do you mean? Of course you put them out. They were sitting on the porch in a paper bag, right where you said they'd be. No, she said. They're still sitting on the counter where I left them. And then an expression of dawning realization spread across her face. It held an odd combination of amusement and alarm. Valerie, I'm so sorry. What? I'm truly sorry. What? She paused as if to prepare me for her news, and then she slowly said, That was cat poop. What? Cat poop, she repeated. I'm afraid I cleaned the litter box out before I left and forgot to put it in the garbage. I guess I must have left it on the back steps. You planted cat poop. News like this doesn't sink in immediately. It sort of bounces around in your head, and all you can hear are the echoes. Cat poop. Cat poop. Miriam looked at my face and did the best she could to keep from laughing. Tears welled up in her eyes, and she pressed her lips tightly together. I usually have a good sense of humor, but I was too busy replaying the images of me picking these hard little corm-like kernels out of a brown paper bag and lovingly planting them in Mother Earth's bosom. I took a long drink of my wine. I wasn't sure I could laugh about this. Miriam managed to pull herself together. She cleared her throat and, sensing my state of shock, politely asked, "So, where did you plant them?" Next to the catnip," I replied. The next thing I knew, we both had collapsed into a fit of laughter. Much to my surprise, I was laughing too, and it felt good, very good. Years have passed since then, and both our gardens and our friendship have continued to grow. That story has grown too to become one of our dearest bonds. I guess, true to form, I really will try to plant just about anything. As called I'll Plant Anything, written by Valerie Wilcox, one of the many stories of makeup chicken soup for the gardener's soul. And that's a Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy. And we'll be talking with you soon.